Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Herbs are down by one, and Gillespie looks to inbound. There it goes to Queen. Queen will drive in against Morton. Queen with a shot off the glass. Got it! And the Pelicans have won it! At the buzzer! What a shot! Oh, my goodness! By Derrick Queen! 72-71, and they're heading to San Francisco! It's about time! Wow. How about that? Man, oh man, oh man.
Yeah. It just doesn't get old. But you know what? It's only the Sweet 16, Terp fans. Got to win tomorrow night. Take advantage of the spot you are in. Chris Nocke was the voice you just heard, along with, of course, the legend Johnny Holiday, on the call here on the Team 980 of Derrick Queen's game winner Sunday in Seattle against Colorado State. Nocke joins us right now from the Bay Area, somewhere in the Bay Area, correct?
Yeah, it's beautiful here. We've had insane weather, particularly relative to what we had in Seattle, where it was just atrocious. So it's been pretty nice the last couple of days.
All right, let's go right to that final play. What did you think they were going to run when they had possession in the front court with 3.7 seconds left?
Well, I mean, the beauty of this particular team is that they had options. You know, I mean, I could see them, honestly, Rice has hit a bunch of big shots, as has Gillespie, but they got the ball to Queen in his sweet spot right there at the foul line. I think that if you talk to Colorado State, they would love to have pushed him out a little bit more, but if you overplay that, you know, you leave yourself susceptible maybe to a lob over top. Maryland got the ball right to the right guy at the right time. He was the best player on the floor by a mile. I wish that he would have spent a little bit more time in the paint during the course of the game, but, you know, there are two of those big guys in there, and they take up a lot of space. I thought that it would go to Queen. You got a bunch of options with this group.
You really do. You have a bunch of options. I actually asked Kevin, who was on the show with me yesterday, I said,
If
Derrick doesn't step up in the huddle and say, give me the MF ball, what was your plan? And he said, he goes, I got six plays for that part of the floor, and I was thinking Rodney, you know, because Rodney's really good at creating space and getting a jump shot off, moving to his left. And so I thought that was interesting. A lot of what he said about those last few possessions was interesting. I have not talked to you over the weekend after either one of these games, Grand Canyon or Colorado State, but I said on Monday, they didn't come anywhere near playing their best basketball on Friday or on Sunday. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, not even close. You know, I thought they played 20 urgent, inspired minutes against Colorado State in the second half when their backs were to the wall. I just thought that they just completely overwhelmed Grand Canyon in that first game. The start was terrible. And I think in any other situation, Kevin, you probably have a team that creates a little bit more space than Grand Canyon was able to do. I think the Terps are maybe down 7-2 or something like that, 7-4. Yeah. As poorly as they played to the first media timeout, that could have been, you know, 12-4 or something like that, 13-4. But yeah. I don't think they played nearly as well in Seattle as they did in either Big Ten tournament game. You know, there were stretches of really good basketball in that Michigan game, even though it ended up in a loss. And, of course, you know, just did a great job against Illinois in that first game. So they got to get back to playing an A game tomorrow night. I don't think anything else. You know, they're certainly good enough to beat Florida, but they're not going to do it with the level of game that they played in Seattle, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that, look, for those of you that are paying attention for the first time this year, if you had a chance to see this team with their A game, you know, whether that was the Illinois game in the quarterfinal or the Illinois game on the road or the Indiana game on the road or, you know, the Iowa didn't guard anybody. That was not a great defensive first half, but you know the games. It's like, yep. you would, I think, agree, you know, people, this team can really go and can really be difficult to guard. But here's the number one concern for me, and I wonder if it is for you. In the last three games, they have not rebounded well, even against Grand Canyon. And especially, they are giving up way too many second and third chances with offensive rebounds. How do they fix that?
Yeah, no question. That's exactly what the issue is. And honestly, I think that if you look at the numbers from the bigs, you know, the Queen could improve what he's doing, although he had, I don't know, 15 against Grand Canyon or something like that. But you know, it's rebounding is an effort-based thing, and you have to have, in this day and age, with so many three-pointers taken and the ball caroming, you know, in 12 different directions on any shot, you know, the possibility of 12 different directions, you just have to have your guards more involved and more engaged in rebounds, and that includes your point guard. That's everybody. You can't – I know these guys want to get out on the break. They want to play at pace. That's great. But you can't do any of that if you don't have the ball. And so I think the guards have to do a better job of rebounding. You know, Reese has been really solid on the backboards. I think more often than not, the long rebounds are going to, you know, to twos and threes rather to the opponent's fours or fives. So you need those guys to stay at home and battle a little bit more than they're doing right now.
Yeah, and something that I think you and I may have talked about last week, and Kevin kind of reiterated yesterday, he said when they're switching one through five, sometimes their bigs are on guards out on the perimeter, and the other team's bigs are being guarded by our guards, Maryland's guards, underneath. So, you know, those are the risks you take when you start switching one through four, one through five.
Yeah, but you've been doing that now for 6 months.
I know
you did it in practice every day. You did it in every game, you know, against every opponent. At this point in time, you should not only be comfortable whether you're trying to cover inside if you're a guard or whether you're out on the perimeter if you're a big. And the last part about that is, again, you should be able to attack the backboards regardless of your position, whether you're 15 feet away or 5 feet away. It's a matter of effort, and I'm not saying these guys aren't working hard or playing hard. It's quite the opposite. I thought this 20 minutes against Colorado State, Kevin, were riveting, the second half. I mean,
great game. Great basketball game.
I know the ebb and the flow was well played. It wasn't like there were a boatload of turnovers. It wasn't like teams were throwing it over the gym. Both teams were executing at a high level. Guys made plays on both ends. I mean, it was the best of college hoops. So, I just think that they can adjust. They can, you got to reiterate that. This is also, I think, when I hate to use the phrase film or video, you know, because nobody watches film or video anymore, but yeah. These are teaching moments when you walk through situations and plays where, you know, hey, you did a great job on the ball here, but you didn't finish the play because you didn't release and go for that rebound. You know, and those are really telling when you're able to walk players through stretches where they actually see themselves and what they're doing.
Talking to Chris Knocke, who has been on the call with Johnny for multiple decades now. That's how old he's gotten. He called the last time Maryland had a buzzer beater in the NCAA tournament, Drew Nicholas's shot, all the way back in 2003. I mean, when that thing went through, I was trying to explain to my wife, like, the fine line, you know, especially when, and you know our fan base, the fine line of an 18, 19-year-old kid with a fadeaway off 1 foot, bank shot at an impossible angle, it going in versus not going in. If that doesn't go in, everybody's like, good riddance, Kevin. This team can't get, Kevin Willard, this team can't get out of the second round. But it went in, and it's just like, it's totally different. It was all in the hands of Derek Queen in that moment in terms of the way this fan base is feeling right now. Although we've got the whole other issue going on, which I'll get to in a moment. But
yeah,
it really is an incredible fine line, isn't it?
To your point, first of all, I think people need to appreciate more how difficult what he did was. Okay, so he's a 6'10", 250-pound guy, moving to his left, shooting back to his right over a guy who's on him. It's not a wide open shot. And it's a swish, backboard swish for him, you know? And just the dexterity, the footwork, all of that. And I don't want to hear people whining about travels and whatnot. Come on. You know, it just, what it takes to make a move like that, and also the huevos, you know, just to be able to step up and do that. It's just so remarkable. But yeah. It is a fine line, man. It is feast or famine. And you know, coming into that game, I'm thinking to myself, boy, you have to take advantage of this opportunity. How many times do you get to play a 12 seed to get to a Sweet 16? You know,
did
I mean, that's,
you think, did you think watching Colorado State on Friday against Memphis what I thought when I was watching it, which is I'd much prefer Memphis?
No question. I was rooting hard for Memphis, and they're up five at half, and then just imploded. Colorado State just kept running their stuff and executing and contesting everything on defense. Memphis was, you know, went all Memphisy. You know, they very undisciplined, threw the ball all over the place. You know, they had a big guy who played really well for Memphis. The guards were just incredibly mediocre, and the better team won that game. And I knew going in, I never do. I've had this conversation with you, Kevin. I have people call me all the time about point spreads and what do you think, and you know that sort of a thing. And I don't go down that rabbit hole because it doesn't really interest me like it does a lot of people, but. I had a buddy call me, you know, right before the game, one of my best friends, and I said, listen, I don't really want to do this, but I got to tell you, the point spread in this game is absurd. It's silly to think, you know, I mean, after watching Colorado State. So, yeah, they're really good, really well coached. That guy, if he gets some players at Minnesota, he's going to be a handful.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, agreed. We're talking to Chris Nockey. You know, the other thing just about this shot is it's, you know, it's a legendary play now in the history of Maryland basketball. You've been around for a bunch of them, you know, in terms of buzzer beaters that have gone the wrong way, more that have gone the wrong way than that have gone the right way. I mean, but it's a moment. Derek Queen, his season as a freshman was already becoming one that was all-time memorable. Maybe not Joe Smith's, but all-time memorable. But that just put him in a different stratosphere. I heard people already talking about, does he get his number and banner hung at Xfinity after one season? I don't know. That's a debate for another day. But legendary moment for the program and the kid.
Honestly, it's a legendary college basketball moment. Certainly it is for, you know, for the Terps and for Maryland basketball. But that's going to be on every reel and on every loop that you ever see associated with March Madness from now to the end of time. You know, I mean, it's just that big a play.
Yeah. All right. Oh, one other thing on Sunday. When they gave up that open three for the lead, how did you call that? I asked Kevin about it yesterday about giving the foul, but were you talking about the foul to give and what they should have been doing?
And from what I understand, and I don't know how, I didn't hear your interview with Kevin, they had told, you know, Maryland had told their guys on the bench, we're going to give a foul, you know, and it was a perfect situation because Clifford was backing down Selton Miguel. That's when you hack him. And the kid made a remarkable pass to the weak side, and the weak side fell asleep a little bit and let that open three off. But, yeah, it was mismanaged, you know, and you want to give that foul and reset the defense. Yeah. They'd gone out there in that matchup zone, and I think what they wanted to do, and not putting words in Kevin's mouth, I think what he wanted to do is give the foul in the zone, and then on the inbound, switch back to man-to-man for the last possession of the game.
So listen to this. So you got to hear, I asked him about it, and it was, I loved what he said. He got into real depth. He said, we did want to foul, but we only wanted to foul on the perimeter because we did not want to give them an inbounds pass underneath their own basket after the foul. For two reasons. One, it's a lot easier to get an open three on an inbounds underneath your own basket, which is true. And number two, he said this guy had like 7,000 underneath the basket inbounds plays that we just did not have time to prepare for in the 2 days. And once, you know, Clifford, he got to the post pretty quickly, and that's why we didn't foul. We would have fouled on the perimeter. I thought that was a phenomenal explanation.
Yeah, I get it.
You know?
And he's right. They ran a lot of different sets. You had one day to prepare for that. And I know, I know that Maryland had done a lot of prep work on both Memphis and Colorado State going into that tournament. But, you know, it's bad karma if you start to talk about Colorado State before you play Grand Canyon. So you don't really do much with it. Then you have one day to prepare for all the stuff that guy's running. And it's I get it. I understand.
Yeah, and that doesn't really explain why, you know, Lake was wide open on the skip pass to shoot an open three. But I get, you know, I said yesterday, it's like so many times, like we're all, I do it all the time. How do you not give the foul? Well, we don't know what they know, you know, and that was, I thought, a pretty logical reason.
Well, Kevin, to your point about the thin line between victory and defeat, you know, what happened on that play was that on the backside, there's Gillespie and there's Derek Queen. And Gillespie was had to favor the point guard who was more up top. It was Queen who actually sort of fell asleep on the play and was late getting out there. So all of a sudden he goes from the guy who didn't get it done defensively to the guy who makes the game-winning play,
yeah,
all in the space of about, what, 2.5 minutes, right?
100%. All right. Yep. Florida tomorrow night. What do you think? How much of a chance do they have?
Yeah, I mean, they got a chance. They can beat anybody, and it's a, yeah, you know, you only have to win it once. Florida, the one thing you have to deal with, I think, is the pace that Florida plays with. It requires you to play more guys, I think, than Maryland has been playing. I think somebody on that Maryland bench or a guy or two are going to have to come in and be impactful in this game. They don't have to be great. They just have to be impactful and solid. But, I mean, the pace is furious. It's breakneck. It's up and down, and they do a great job with it. They're going to have to rebound better than they have, and they're going to have to deal with, the pure pace of the game. But they can play. Maryland scored over 80 points a game this year. They were very comfortable in fast break situations. You're making sure defensive balance is there where you get back on the break, on their break. All of that is really, really, really critical. But they have to play better for longer. I mean, I hate to put it as simply as that. They had some really good minutes in Seattle. They had some really good minutes in Indianapolis before it. But to beat a number one seed, you're going to have to play better for longer than they have in the last couple of weeks.
Do you think that trying to play more of a half-court game would be the right way to go for Maryland to lower the possession count?
I just think you are who you are right now. It's hard to, after, what have they played now, 35 games? I think yeah. That's the number, 35. You know, you can't make a pig a duck. You know, you can't. You've sort of constructed your season. You know how you like to play, and I don't think they're putting the brakes on in this game. It might be one of those things where you, from time to time, you make sure you are absolutely walking it up and taking the air out of the ball a little bit. But you've gotten to the point where you are one half of 1% of all Division I teams are still alive. There are 364 teams, 16 left. It's 1/2 of 1%, and you're there. You just have to play your game and play it as well as you can.
Who guards Walter Clayton Jr.?
That will be a consortium of guys. You know, Rodney Rice has been a real sturdy defender, yeah, I think, this year. Selton Miguel will have some minutes on him because they switch every screen. You have to stay in front of that guy. You have to contest the three. He elevates so well on that jumper of his. You know, it's you just want to be in a position where you are contesting it without fouling. And then keeping that squadron of bigs off the backboards. No easy baskets or limit easy baskets for him. I think Clayton's going to get his, but you just want to make sure the other guys are limited.
Yeah, rebounding is going to be huge. And I thought in watching, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Florida-UConn game, but UConn, what an effort that was. I mean, physically, they took it to Florida for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
I don't
played,
know.
If, played like champions.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing about this Maryland team is they haven't physically dominated anybody, you know, even with the two bigs. I guess that Illinois game on the road when it was just they had their big out, you know, the Lithuanian kid who was but when Maryland overwhelms a team, it's with unstoppable finesse.
Yeah, they're incredibly skilled, 1 through 5, just yeah, really skilled. Even Julian Reese, who I would not have called skilled last year, has come
right
miles. You know, so and that's the way they win games. But they're going to have to be better than that and more than that in this game. One of the things we've seen, kind of a common theme in these games, the way they're reffed, Kevin, is they're letting guys play.
Yep.
You know, it has been physical basketball, and whether you like it or not, you have to deal with that. You have to adjust to it. And but I like it because that allows Maryland to keep their best guys on the floor. You don't have to worry about a guy going to the bench. At least we haven't had to worry about a guy going to the bench with two fouls, you know, 5 minutes into a game, which is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado State never got into the bonus in that game in either half.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. All right. Got to ask you because, you know, we've got two major stories with this program going on at the same time, that kind of stinks, actually, that there's so much focus on Kevin Willard's future. But what do you think? Do you think he stays or goes?
You know, I think he stays. I think that he's attempting correctly to use as much leverage as he possibly can to make it a better situation for him and his program. You know, these are just uncharted waters where we're at right now in the sport and the way it's played and NIL and all that stuff. And money is if it wasn't king before, it sure is now. There are just so many parts to this. I hope he stays. I hope there's some continuity with the program. I think his departure sets this program back a number of years. And I hope that administration and the right people have gotten involved to make sure that that happens. It's above my pay grade. He's got the juice now, and when you do have it, you need to exert it and use it. And I think we're seeing that. Hopefully it all works out for him.
You know, your comment there, I think, is spot on. And I've had this conversation multiple times here over the last, few days. If he were to leave, it's a devastating blow to the program right now.
The timing is terrible, because then your portal is open, and that's another issue entirely, the fact that the portal would be open at this point in time, but the portal is open, and, do you go through this exhaustive search? I know for a fact that most sitting Power 5 ADs, they generally have a list of three names in their pocket if one of their major coaches should leave. Well, Maryland has no AD.
Yep.
So, who does that fall upon to sort of pick and choose who the next guy is? And it would be a really, really difficult situation for the program, no question.
All right. Enjoy tomorrow night, the game right here, 7:39 tip, 4:39 Pacific time. You've been in these regional sites before for these super early games on the West Coast. The atmosphere at 4:39 San Francisco time tomorrow night could be, some of these atmospheres are so sterile. I bet you don't have a half-filled arena at 4:39 in the afternoon.
It's funny. Like in Seattle, it was complete opposite. I think you get a lot of people who regionally here just who are eaten up by the opportunity to go see a Sweet 16 game. And the problem here, of course, is traffic. Legendary California traffic. It might be at the start. It might be sterile, Kevin. But my guess is by the middle of that game, it's going to be a circus in there. It's supposed to be a beautiful arena. I'm going over there in about an hour or two. I'm excited to be in the arena and just jacked to be in another Sweet 16 again, finally.
All right. Enjoy it. Chris and Johnny on the call tomorrow night right here on the Team 980. I'll talk to you maybe afterwards. Thanks.
Excellent. All right. Thanks.
Chris Nockey, everybody. So I'll give you kind of my thoughts right now on the Kevin Willard situation when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.